Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone. This is Carly with Daytime After Dark. And today we have, this is our second show for today. And I already put our Hudson West interview. So please check that out. And so today we are interviewing the delightful and wonderful Stephen Brannigan. And so that's what's happening today. And so I'm going to bring Nadia on first. Hey Nadia, do you want to introduce him?
Hi, sure. So tonight we are going to have Stephen Brannigan. He is also a podcast radio show host as well.
Oh, awesome. Okay. So I will bring him on. Hi, Stephen.
Hello, how are you?
Oh, hi, Stephen.
I'm good. I'm calling C. Nadia, so, yeah.
Hi there. Good evening.
Good evening. So, can you tell our listeners a little more about your background?
I sure can. Thank you again for inviting me. I really appreciate it.
Oh, no problem.
Well, let's see. I am from Dayton, Ohio, and I was adopted by my grandparents on my biological father's side of the family, on the Brittingham side of the family, and that was very unique because for years I didn't even know that I was adopted. I did not know that they were my grandparents. So when the news was broken to me, that was quite a shock for me as a young boy, as you might imagine.
How did they break into you, and how did you find out?
You know,
stunned.
I was stunned, and it really changed so much about my life. Because I realized that things can now be not what they appear to be. And basically my uncle, we'll call him, I just got these weird, like, vibes around him. Like there was just something I was feeling. And that was because he was my biological dad. And I brought up questions about him. And we also looked an awful, you know, I should say we looked a lot alike. And that's when my grandmother broke the news to me. And, yes, it was a big shock.
How old were you when they broke the news?
I'm going to say that I was probably 9 years old.
Okay, number one, that would just throw me in therapy for the rest of my life. 9 years old. Wow.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
Okay, go on. This is very, very interesting. I find with
it. Well, thank you. I appreciate that. Well, unfortunately, a few years later, my grandfather, so the man I called Dad all those years when I was 11, he passed away with no warning of a heart attack. And that also was another just a significant moment in my life. It was such a difficult time for me. I was about to turn 12, and suddenly you have no dad in your life, and you found out he was your grandfather. And so that was also something that was just very emotional for me and very difficult to get through. Well, I had a big imagination being an only child, and I loved movies. I loved television shows. I loved reading. I loved music. So I was very artistic-minded. And I will share this story with you. If we go back a few years, actually probably late 70s, my grandfather had taken me to see the Muppet movie. So this is the original one, right? The very first movie where Kermit and wants to go to Hollywood, right? The whole film, he's like, I got to get to Hollywood. I can make it if I get there. And when I left the theater, I was holding my grandfather's hand, and I looked up in the sky, and I saw a rainbow. And all of a sudden, I knew that I, too, wanted to go there one day. And that's how I got inspired to become interested in acting. And basically, I eventually started doing acting in high school, theater performances in high school. I signed with an agency in Dayton and started my training. And that's really how everything started as far as my acting projects go.
Wow. So as the years went by, when you were discovering the truth, did it take a while for everything to set in? Or were you like, did you just take it all in? Or do you need like a year or two thinking, what the heck?
Are you talking about when I got the news about being adopted?
Yes. And,
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's a very good question. Thank you for asking. Well, let me put it this way. It took more than a year or two because guess what? I'm actually to this day still sorting out things, and I'll tell you why. It's not because of my grandparents. They're wonderful, kind, good people. I was extremely close to my grandmother, extremely close. But as the years went by, I noticed that some people in the family treated me differently. Like, they resented that I was adopted. And I felt out of place. I think that it was very upsetting for me to come to this understanding that there were people that felt that way. I couldn't understand it. So, yes, there are times in my life where I'm still sorting out things about being adopted. But make no mistake of it. I'm very blessed. I was headed to the orphanage. And if it wasn't for them, that's exactly where I would have wound up at.
Well, exactly. Wow. Yeah. I think, I should quote from the movie Hope Flows, something about a childhood takes us way into growing up, until we are grown up and figure out everything in our childhood. I remember that part in Hope Flows, and like that is so true. That line, because when you're a kid, you try and not maybe think about everything, but when you are growing up and then you just have time to really think, then you end up like, oh my God, okay, that happened and that happened. Yes, I totally.
Yes,
I totally get what you're saying. It's like crazy. So you feel like not disinvited from other family members. You just feel like you were left out of place, right? Pretty much.
Yes, I felt different. You know what it is? It took me a long time to understand some things about this, but now I do, especially the last few years. It just suddenly is making sense to me. I don't think everybody understood my relationship with my grandmother. And I'll tell you why, is that I think that I had such a fear of losing her because, of course, she was older than most other of my friends' parents, you know, than their mother. And she was such a kind, loving person. And I felt like I needed to protect her and be there for her and sacrifice for her. And it really was a big part of my life. I don't think that I experienced what a lot of my friends did with their mothers, because it was different. I can see that now. If I had to travel, for example, I worried over her so much, and I felt guilty for not being there for her. So, see, these kind of issues, you know, were different, I think. And it took me a long time to understand that it was just because, you know, we had a strong connection. And I knew that she wanted me when nobody else did.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, when you have that, of course you're going to feel, you know, like that. And it's probably, you know, I mean, when a kid's adopted, and I'm not adopted, but when a kid is adopted and when you have things like that, to deal with and go through, that,
yes,
you know, you should almost kill the kid before they are nine. I don't know why I feel like that, but I feel like things always, you know, end up coming bad up to the surface if you don't kill the kid before,
yes,
you know.
It is interesting to think about. It is interesting to think about that they waited for a while, and then after my grandfather passed away, my biological father, who... his name is Steve as well, and I always called him Big Steve. And he was in and out of my life from that point on. And it was, another life lesson for me to learn, my relationship with Big Steve. I had an awful lot of letdowns and a heartache, but also – I also had the most wonderful memories. I had both. It was up and down, and there would be years that would go by and I wouldn't hear from him. And then all of a sudden he'd be around for a year or two, and then all of a sudden he was gone again. And but he was a very kind person. He would never hurt anybody, but he had his own struggles, and that's why he couldn't raise me. You know, that's why he wasn't able to do that.
Wow. I mean, that does make sense. I mean, that, you know, why you were given up and everything. But I think, you know, it plays on your psyche so much that it, you know, does something to you. And you know, my uncle, well, my adopted uncle, was going through a bill of divorce, and during the bill of divorce, his wife was dying of brain cancer, and his ex-wife's mom, who was my mom's best friend, growing up, they were always together. Well, the grandmother decided to tell one of the kids, oh, by the way, that's not your real father. Like this whole big secret that, you know, everyone kind of had a feeling she wasn't, but they were not about to do that while the mother was dying. And when that happened, oh, my grandma wanted to punch.
Yes.
Yeah, because, you know, my uncle, you know, is, like, been in this family since, before I was born. He, you know, my grandparents never adopted him, but he was always there no matter what for them. And so when all this came out, and I was like 12 when everything was hitting the fan. And I'm like, okay, this is one hell of a way to do this. You know, I told my mom, I go, you're just going to scar her for life by this. And my mom agreed. And she has had a very rough time with all the secret keeping and everything that, you know, she was in jail for a while and everything. And when, you know, if the truth just came out earlier, oh, maybe after her mother died, that would have been better. But not while your mother is sick and not going to make it. So after that experience, I'm like, okay, that is evil. So, yeah, my thing is, I think you should tell the kid by the time they are like 5. No, just that you adopted, that you did not come from us, but we love you. And that's probably, you know, the most you have to say, I think. But I don't think they need to keep it from 9 to 12 or 25 years later, as I hear some of these stories. So, yeah. Mm.
Well, thank you for letting me share some of that with you.
Yeah. So with everything with that, so then you wanted to make it to Hollywood, right?
I did. Very much. I did. I wanted to go out to Hollywood. Yes.
So how was going to Hollywood, first of all?
Whoa, quite the adventure. So basically, I was in North Carolina, and I had done several plays there, and I even directed a play. My first time directing was a cast of 30 kids. So for your first time to direct, that's quite a challenge, let me tell you. And the play was Aladdin, and it was a good time. And then I taught acting classes there, and it was sold out. So I was a very busy guy in North Carolina, and I just had so much fun. Two plays in particular, The Murder Room, where I played my first villain, and The Country Girl, which is one of my all-time favorite performances on stage. It just was wonderful. Well, I decided the timing was right to head out to California, and me and my little car made it all the way across the country, thank goodness, because it was packed to the hilt. And I remember I got to Flagstaff, Arizona, and it snowed all of a sudden, and I had to spend the night when I didn't think I would have to that night. And the next morning, I made it to California. I had two roommates who were both actors as well. And it was a very exciting time to arrive to L.A. to, you know, pursue my acting goals and dream.
Wow. I've been to Flagstaff before, so I'm like, wow. You know, I love California. I think California has the best weather. Okay, I'm from Seattle, so you can't understand why I'm saying what I'm saying, because today is beautiful here, but tomorrow the rain will be back. I mean,
there you
it
go.
Always, you know, it happens. And so I was reading. Yeah.
And when I first got out there, I got lost all the time. This is before internet and cell phones. And let me tell you, that city map was really thick, really big. I still remember that. And but that's how I learned to drive in L.A. was by getting lost so much. I wound up in East L.A. half the time and didn't even know it. And so I had a lot of adventures just learning to drive around the city.
I will say this about L.A., and this is always I will go with it, but if you get lost in L.A., people, and you have to go to the bathroom, good luck, because there's no bathroom in sight, because no stupid gas station where we were in L.A. would let us go to and use the restroom. So that's my one little pick with L.A. And
well, you know what I like to do in L.A. was, sure, you know the freeways are really, you know, massive, right? They're really, mm-hmm. they take you all over the city. But you know how congested they can get sometimes. Well, I like to actually drive the long streets of L.A. to get to where I needed to go. And I got to tell you what, it seemed to be faster. So instead of hopping on the freeway, if I didn't have to, I would just take the long roads and streets to wherever I had to go. And I really like doing that.
Wow. Yeah, because it's, I mean, it's crazy, you know, the weather there and the earthquakes, you know, the earthquakes.
Well, I'll tell you a quick
really...
story. My first acting class in Hollywood was with a lady named Bonnie Ford, who is just an absolutely amazing lady and, wow, just an incredible teacher. And when she was teaching soap opera technique, you know, training for soap operas, and it focused on the young and the restless and the bold and the beautiful. She had permission to use actual scripts. So in class, you were actually using the scripts that actors had used on the show. Well, the first night, I got there no problem. But guess what? On the way home, I got lost, and I drove up and down, you know, Hollywood Boulevard over and over. And I'm like, okay, I got to pull over and finally call my roommates. Found a payphone, and they answered the phone and said, where are you? Because it was like 1 in the morning. So I've been driving that long trying to find this one street. And but you know what? I have to say this. After a week or so of that, I got really good driving around. So it just took me a little while to get used to how to get to everywhere.
Well, you know, that is amazing. And, you know, I've been watching soaps since I was probably 8. I really miss that, probably 7. You know, I've been around my grandmother. She got me hooked on days. I will admit that. And then for my grandmother, I never picked up because I wasn't thinking. We always lost the prices right together because we love that. And I was always there every summer in Oregon. And then I would go take a, you know, I would go get ready for the day. But yeah, I would come back and Y&R was on. And I go, you know, I could turn the station. You know, I was being polite, but the remote control was in his hand. And he goes, if you touch it, I will kill you. I'm like, and I'm like, okay. And at 15, I was more thinking about getting and going to see my friends than what that actually meant. And then I'm like, wait a moment. And then I'm with my best friend in Oregon, and I told her, it goes, oh, yeah, he's been watching Young and the Restless for 20 years. And then, so then I find out that my mother is now watching Y&R, loves Young and the Restless, loves it so much. And then I find out my uncle from Florida, who used to live here, was a closet boredom beautiful fan. And so when I got my radio show, they kept asking me, oh, when you get this doll on, please let us know. And I'm like, why are you interested? Like, my uncle's like, because they have a beautiful body. Not that they were washing the show. So for me, I'm like, wait a moment. So, yeah. So, you know, I've been in this soap daytime mode for 11 years. I've interviewed so many great people and also movie stars and everything.
Well, that's wonderful.
I was reading your little thing about your podcast with my second quest, you know, coming. So you interviewed, you have had so many people on your podcast. So has your number one person been on your podcast that you got so far?
You mean like the most, you're saying like the biggest surprise or biggest name, so to speak?
Yes, the biggest.
Let me put it this way. I don't know if this answer will be very exciting or not, but let me put it this way, because I truly am sincere. I am just as excited to talk with actors who are up and coming and maybe aren't household names as I am those who are, you know, either household names or maybe somewhere in the middle. And so from that viewpoint, that is my approach. I'm just interested in their artistic journey. And but yes, I have had people who have done incredible things in the industry. Let me put it this way. I think that there have been several people where, you know, I've been thinking about this lately, where I'm actually amazed that they have been a part of my show because they had a special meaning in my life. You know, for example, growing up in the 80s, you know, 80s music and all that great stuff. Well, Tiffany was huge on the scene, and lo and behold, she was a guest for over an hour.
Wait. You had Tiffany?
I had Tiffany, yes. And so that is an example. 15 million albums sold worldwide. And so that was a big honor. But, you know, the actors I've interviewed from The Young and the Restless and The Bold and the Beautiful has had extra special meaning for me because of how I feel about the show and Bill Bell's legacy. And then Dallas has been a big treat for me because – you know, Dallas was a show that is still one of my favorites. And I had hoped to have a few people on, and it turned out to be a whole bunch of people. And I just have to say that has been wonderful. But, you know, I could go on and on because that's the thing. They're all special to me. And every time I'm amazed that this person, you know, spent time with me and shared their artistic story. You know, when you can have Burt Ward, Robin, from the original Batman, visit you twice on the show, you are one lucky guy.
Because I was looking at who you had on your podcast, and we need to talk after this podcast, because some of the names you have, now I've been trying to get for 11 years, but you had, actually, we have a friend in common, Tracy Menslow, from the bottom. Tracy's been a great friend to the show from the beginning, so she comes on whenever.
Well, if I can just say really quick that I learned something from every single guest, and I'm not just saying that. I mean, I walk away going, I've learned something about myself now. But I have to tell you, there are some guests that have extra special significance because they have really influenced me. And Tracy is someone that is in that category. She's a wonderful lady. She's absolutely beautiful, extremely talented. And anytime I communicate with her, it's just an enjoyable experience, and she's been very supportive. And so someone like that does so much for me and I think of so highly. So that is a person that, you know, I think of very highly.
Yeah, I mean, Tracy's life story, people, is incredible. And, you know, I travel on so many times, and I'm always screaming at Vogue for not bringing her back. Was it the perfect time to bring her back? But you said that the Ryan Allen Vogue, you know, you've had a lot of them on.
Yeah.
So, did you ever get to interview Christoph St. John ever? Because he was a really dear friend of mine. He was, you know, he was probably my biggest cheerleader.
Well, let me put it.
Yeah, Christoph.
I am glad to hear that. I'm glad to hear that. I'm not surprised to hear that he was your friend.
Yeah, he was. I mean, he was always telling me not to give up, not go after any guests you want. You know, basically, the worst thing that they can say is no. Basically, that's what he taught me. And I'm really close to J. Eddie Peck, who used to be.
J. Eddie, yes.
Yeah, J. Eddie and I, well,
great guy,
my TV husband. Yeah, he's my TV husband. Well, Christoph was, but then he died. So I have this, like, month of grieving for Grammy. I'm going to have a lifetime of grieving for Christoph, but I had to get a TV husband back. So, yeah, Zayati is also my guardian angel, too, because they, those two, kept telling me, do not give up. You know, yeah, you might get frustrated, you know, dealing with the PR people and everything, but do not give up. And I wish
you
were able to have Christoph on your podcast because that, you know, when I first started, it was just me. So it was like a one, it turned into almost a 2-hour conversation with me and Christoph. And it was like the most amazing conversation. So
I can see what you say
by having all the guests and the story you hear. And so when we lost him, I mean, I'm still wanting the hospital to pay. I'm still wanting someone to pay for this because that was wrong that he was taken like he was. So, yeah, so when you told me why and all and bold people, this, my mind went to Christoph. I mean, I still watch Young and Lewis's, but for me, it's like hard to watch sometimes because I'm like, I'm expecting him to be like, in my head, I know he's gone, but in my head, I'm like, oh, you're on vacation. You've been on the longest vacation, get back. Like, kind of like that. So, yeah. And you, I mean, you've had so many guests. And so are you writing a book right now? Or have you bought it?
What's that?
Have you bought the book? I was somewhere you have a book. And now I want to read your book.
Well, thank you. That's very kind of you. Well, let me just backtrack, if it's okay, real quick, and just say I did not have Christoph as a guest, but I was away from acting projects or any artistic project for years to care for my grandmother as she was aging. So that goes back to me trying to say how my relationship with her was different. I felt like I shouldn't be doing sometimes things that I would like to be doing. I don't regret it, though. I'm glad that I was there for her. But anyway, when I returned to artistic projects, it was 2016, I started the podcast. I always wanted and intended to invite Christoph, but I still hadn't dealt with a lot of my past at that time. And Christoph was so special to me that I wanted to make sure I was ready for that. And I was actually just about to do that when, unfortunately, we lost him. And it's just another reminder that, you can't always put things off till tomorrow. Well, you know, what you can get done today.
I know what you mean, because I got sick for 2 years and a year and a half. And then, so I wasn't on here for a year and a half. And so then when I was so sick, I was just ready to give up. And Christoph and the other folks told me, don't, just fight in, you're going to be okay. And Christoph said the last direct message I got from him goes, you know, hey, sweetie, when you get back on the air, please let me be, you know, your first guest. So I have my operation. I was recovering. Before my operation, he passed away. And then I had my operation a month after he died. And then I came back on air March 28th. And I'm like, I can't do this. I mean, I wanted to go back. I just, like, he was supposed to be there. And so, of course, I called Zayetti. I texted Zay, and I go, I know this is a lot of ask, but Christoph was supposed to be on my first show back. Can you? And he goes, of course. So, you know, my time with Christoph was amazing. And even though you were not in the best place, I think if you did, even if you were not in a great place, you would have walked away with that interview learning more about yourself than anything, in my opinion.
Well, you're right. I have to agree with you. You're right. That's very good perspective.
Yeah, and oh, my God, okay, real bad. You know what? I forget we have co-hosts. I forget I get drawn into you. And then, so, and Nadia is probably ready to kill me. Because I know she has questions, and she's the one that got you on the show,
okay.
And I'm the one talking. So, yeah.
Sure.
Nadia, I'm sure you have a lot of questions, don't you?
Yes. Hi, Stephen. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. Thank you so much for being on the show. I appreciate it very much.
My pleasure. Thank you.
So my question, one of my first questions is, so can you tell us a little bit about the Dallas 40th anniversary celebration on your podcast?
Yes. Wow. Thank you for asking.
You're welcome.
Well, I had this idea. It's the 40th year of Dallas, right? I thought, hey, let's do something special. And, you know, I did think that, you know, maybe I could get two or three people. But according to my research with podcasts, as far as I know, I had more Dallas cast interviews than any podcast out there during the 40th anniversary. So the turnout was absolutely amazing. And it was my way to show the show some respect and love and to speak with people that I've admired for a long, long time. I just have to tell you, it was the most incredible experience for me, having cast members from Dallas.
I bet. Thick legends.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And it was so much fun. You know, to have, you know, Steve Canale on, who actually returned for a second time to do a two-parter, and then to have, you know, Deborah Trinelli, Bobby Ewing's secretary. I mean, in fact, that was my first episode when I expanded the podcast to, you know, like Apple Podcasts and iHeartRadio. She was my first guest. I started the podcast with the anniversary. So it was my way to, you know, discuss Dallas and you know, because it's a show I love very much.
Yes, Dallas was a classic. My grandmother used to watch Dallas. Actually, my grandmother used to watch all shows back in the day. Dallas, Dynasty, they're all great. Yep.
Yeah, and I've had you know, Gordon Thompson has been on twice from Dynasty, Adam Carrington.
Mm-hmm.
And let me tell you, that was a huge treat. Speaking with Gordon is just an amazing experience. I feel mm-hmm. like I learned so much as an actor from him, just listening to his stories and perspectives. But to have him on twice, I mean, I'm just so grateful and blessed. I really am.
So my other question was, you also had your Patriot 20th anniversary celebration on the podcast. Can you tell us about that?
Yes. Well, it's actually still going on, but we're running out of time because
mm-hmm.
the film was released in the summer. We're getting close to the 21st year now. But yes, I've had three mm-hmm. people on from the film, and you know, I had Lisa Brenner, who is a phenomenal actress, and
mm-hmm.
She shared what it was like to work with Heath Ledger and Jason Isaacs and Mel Gibson. And so, again, I just came up with the idea to honor a show, or in this case, a movie, that I really love. And I also felt deserved to be remembered. And that's something I like to do, is to you know, honor shows or films that way. Another example, if you don't mind me mentioning, is something I'm very proud of, is my tribute to Michael Landon. I've had two episodes remembering Michael
mm-hmm.
Landon, and they
yeah.
have been extra special for me.
Wow. And you also had the tribute to the Love Boat on your podcast. How was that like? I saw
well,
that you interviewed one of the actresses on there just recently.
Yes. Correct. Gopher, Fred Grandy. He started it off.
Mm-hmm.
And here's how all this started. I hadn't seen the Love Boat since it was actually on back in the late 70s and 80s. And
right.
it was just one of those shows that I loved, but I just never really saw it again on rerun.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Paramount Plus has the entire series in HD, commercial-free. So I started watching it, and I was like, I can't stop watching it. I am just, it's a show of such heart. And you have all these actors from classic Hollywood as guest stars. It's just wonderful. Well, guess what? I got inspired to start a celebration. I reached out to Fred.
Mm-hmm.
He was a guest, and he encouraged me. I have to give Fred the credit here. He encouraged me to keep reaching out to his co-stars because he says that he felt that they would enjoy speaking with me. Well, now mm-hmm. starting next week on Tuesday, I believe that's the 20th. I hope I have that right. Oh, my goodness. I think
mm-hmm.
it's the 20th. Well, anyway, it's on Tuesday of next week. The celebration continues with 2 weeks of only Love Boat interviews with the cast and some people that were guest stars on the Love Boat.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
That's amazing.
Yeah, I'm very, very excited. And the first one is with another Dallas lady, Audrey Landers, who
mm-hmm.
it was her second time on the show. She had already talked about Dallas her first time, but she was on several episodes of The Love Boat, and she shares this great story that I'm not going to ruin it for anybody, but it is very touching, that happened on a two-part episode with her sister, Judy Landers. It's a wonderful story. And then that kind of starts everything. And the last 2 weeks will be several episodes.
Oh, wow. That's awesome.
I've got Lauren Tweet and
mm-hmm.
Jill Whelan, and Gavin McLeod is scheduled to be interviewed. He's the only one I've not interviewed yet that is scheduled to, but he would be definitely, you know, that would just be such a high honor to have him. And
mm-hmm.
Melissa Anderson, who used to go by Melissa Sue Anderson, but she now goes by Melissa mm-hmm. Anderson. Well, she is going to be one of the folks that talks about her appearances on The Love Boat. And that is an absolutely
oh, wow.
amazing interview. And I'd like to say, if anybody's listening, as a bonus, she shares her audition story for Little House on the Prairie. So you get a little
oh, wow.
extra with the during the episode, too.
That is awesome.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
I'm sorry. Can you tell us why Whitney Port is on your wish list for being a guest?
Yes, sure. Well, I really like Whitney a lot. Of course, from the hills and in the city, right? Reality television.
Yeah.
But I discovered more of Whitney, like I should say to a greater extent, with her podcast show, which I want to say I recommend to people.
Mm-hmm.
She usually has episodes every Tuesday with Whit.
Okay.
And the things that I like about Whitney is that she's just really natural. She's just being Whitney.
Mm-hmm.
And she has a lot of positive energy. But she's also willing to say, hey, I have a lot of rough days, just like anybody. And she kind of has this adventurous spirit that I connect with. And, yes, if I could have anybody right now, you know, tomorrow, she would certainly be at the top of my list because I really, really would love to have her on my show. I think it would be a fun time.
Mm-hmm. That sounds awesome.
So I hope she's listening.
Wow. I hope so, too. So what guests?
And thank you for asking that. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. And what guests made you feel emotional, made you laugh, made you feel inspired and amazed?
Wow. Whew, boy. Well, so many of them have impacted me in those ways. Let me say that, let's see here. Sorry if I'm taking a moment here to kind of pinpoint.
That's okay.
I've been surprised by a lot of people. Maybe I was expecting one thing, and it turned out to be even better than I thought it was going to be. Well, I'll give you an example. It's ironic you asked me that. That's a great question. I like that question. You know, I had a lady that I interviewed today. The episode's not available, but she's battling stage 4 cancer, and I believe she was a guest on your show.
Recently. Robin?
Yes.
Was it Robin?
And
yep.
Yes. And so I was expecting an emotional interview, right, with this topic.
Yeah, oh, my
cancer.
God, yes.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what happened? We talked for 15 minutes before we even got to the cancer topic about things I never would have ever have imagined that I didn't prepare for because it was so spontaneous, and we just instantly clicked. And we had we had more laughs during that episode than I ever would have imagined. And I just have to say that I just so enjoyed talking with her. I'm going to be honest. I hope this isn't unprofessional, but I feel like I made a new friend today. And
yes.
I that is an example of feeling emotional. I would say that people have really brightened up my life by just agreeing to be a guest. Terry Garber would be a perfect example. So this actress, who I've always admired, I personally think she's one of the most beautiful women ever to grace a television screen. And I first saw her in North and South, the miniseries. I don't know if you remember that from the 80s with Patrick Swayze and Jeannie Francis.
Yeah.
Well, she was Patrick Swayze's not-so-nice sister. And I just thought her performance was just absolutely outstanding. I mean, and that's even putting it lightly. So when she actually agreed to be a guest, she actually did it in such an easy manner that surprised me. That was like a huge highlight for me when people are that generous. But I've had a lot of people where we've laughed a lot, where there's been tears. I'm just constantly feeling emotions when I speak with people. I really am.
Mm-hmm. Robin and Perry, they're both great people. And
yes.
We interviewed both. And they're both really great people.
Well, they sure are. And if I could just say really quick, a guest of mine, Carrie Mitchum, the granddaughter of Robert Mitchum, and she was the original Donna Logan on The Bold and the Beautiful. So this would be a person who became a friend from being a guest. And not only that, she became a part of my show. She does voice promos. She does welcome greetings, email promos.
Wow.
We talk from time to time. We brainstorm. We encourage each other. I mean, Carrie, when I first saw her on The Bold and the Beautiful, I was like, well, there's a lady that puts the beautiful on The Bold and the Beautiful. And she was so talented, and I loved her grandfather. So that is an example of where you have a guest, and you have no idea that what's down the road, that you could become friends. And
exactly.
I have to say that Carrie Mitchum is definitely a strong influence on me as a podcast host, because I always feel like she's always so supportive.
Mm-hmm. So, so I have a couple more questions. So this
sure.
next one is, so this next one is, now, do you still watch soap operas and today, and what is your favorite soap opera that's on the air today?
Well, thank you for asking that, because yes, I still watch The Young and the Restless and The Bold and the Beautiful. It's always been the only two daytime dramas that I've watched, with the one exception. I actually discovered daytime dramas with Loving when it was first on, and I was intrigued by this show. I thought, it's this 30-minute ABC soap opera. I just thought the cast was so interesting and continuing stories, and I was already a Dallas fan, but I was like, wow, five episodes a week. I was kind of just getting what soap operas were all about. But after a few years, I had stopped, and then I discovered The Young and the Restless, and I've never stopped watching, probably around, I'd say, 87, right around there. And but, yeah, I still watch them today. And the same for The Bold and the Beautiful.
Awesome. Yeah, so my two favorite soap operas, I still watch them both, was As the World Turns when they were on the air. I absolutely love that soap opera.
Yeah.
I used to also watch Passions when it was on the air. I used to love that one, too, as well. And Days of Our Lives, was one of my first soap operas that I watched back when I was a kid. So I've been watching Days of Our Lives for a long time. And now just recently I started watching General Hospital. And I really enjoyed that soap opera as well. So, and now that both Days of Our Lives and General Hospital are on still, I watch them both. So I think it's great.
Well, if you don't mind me saying something really quick, and I'm sorry this is like a delayed response. You were asking me about someone that had made me emotional as a host. And again, there have been several people, but I most certainly have to include Carrie Ginzel, who, of course, made her mark on All My Children in Pine Valley. And again, Carrie is also a person that has been extremely supportive of me behind the scenes. And she's a lady that I think of as a true pro. And she inspires me that way. But Carrie's personal story and struggles that she had, she shared them on the show. And to me, I was so impressed with her vulnerability and her willingness to talk openly about all of that. It really touched me. And so I think of Carrie very highly. And if you don't mind me adding, the first person I ever interviewed was actually written for an online magazine. That's how all this interview stuff started for me. And guess who was my first person I reached out to? Was Carrie Ginzel. And I remember sweating bullets, waiting for a response. And she got back to me quickly and said she'd love to be interviewed by me. And I had so much fun doing it. I was like, you know what? I want to keep doing it. And then eventually I'm like, hey, I want to do it the audio version. So I owe Carrie Ginzel a lot, because she has a special place in my heart, because she's the first person I ever, interviewed.
Right. So, and my last question is, can you tell us the challenges of being a podcast host?
Oh boy, how long do you have? Let's see. Well, yes, I can tell you some challenges. I think that podcasting is a marathon and it is not a sprint.
Yep.
I also think that podcasting is an opportunity to express yourself in any way that you want to. But a person should not overlook that opportunity. So you can do what you want, but make sure that you're focused, make mm-hmm. sure that you're prepared. And, you know, for me, research is extremely important, and it's something that's important to me as a host, and that's something I try to offer my guests and the listeners. But I would say the mm-hmm. challenges with podcasting is that you have to be careful of balancing it with your daily life or other projects. And I'm going to say mm-hmm. this. I think one of the biggest things is this. You know, there have been times where I have had low spirits privately, although now I'm saying it publicly, because I felt like maybe, you know, what was I really accomplishing what I wanted to? Was enough people mm-hmm. really listening? And you know what?
Right.
I've learned is that even if you only have 100 people listening, and by the way, I do have more listeners than that, but I'm just saying, for an example, even if you only have mm-hmm. 100 people, you have 100 people that want to hear what you have to say. And it's okay
right.
that it's not 100,000. But mm-hmm. it is a marathon, and I think one of the biggest challenges is to be organized, prepared, and if you do have struggles or personal matters in your life, you need to take maybe some time away to deal with them so it doesn't impact your hosting duties.
Right.
You know, just be honest with yourself. Like, do I need to take a week away where I'm, like, sort out other matters? Because I've mm-hmm. tried not doing that, and it came back to catch up with me. But I'm happy to say that things are going so well. I feel like Hollywood and Beyond is like the little engine that could. And, I mean, I started with the most minimal equipment. I was really just me, you know, out there by myself on this boat in this big ocean. And here I am several years later. And I got to be honest with you, lately, I just can't even believe the people I've talked to. I really can't.
Mm-hmm. That is amazing.
Yeah.
Well,
I want to say,
yeah. I just want to say those words are very, you know, inspiring. They're good. Thank you.
Well, you're most welcome.
Yes. So we do have a couple more callers or more callers.
Yes.
I will pass you back to Carly.
And I just want to say, by the way,
yes.
I'm following you now, Stephen. Daytime 6976. And would you please follow me back because I would like to talk
sure
to
will.
You off air. Okay, so
yes,
I'm
anytime,
on,
absolutely.
Okay, I'm bringing on our little co-host, Bobby. He's gonna kill me for saying that. Hey, Bobby.
Well, since I waited for over an hour for this, I might as well just say, how are you doing tonight, Stephen?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm doing fine. You mentioned earlier how you got started in plays in North Carolina. Well, I'm from Fayetteville. Did you? What part of North Carolina were you in?
It was actually Pinehurst in Southern Pines.
Oh, yeah. I know. That's about a half hour away from where I live. I'm living in Fayetteville.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm surprised that you didn't perform took some of those plays to our regional theater here in Fayetteville back in the day, back before COVID.
Well, if I wasn't wanting to get to Hollywood so quickly, I probably would have.
Yeah. Because I know that you had a choice of either going to Hollywood or going down to Wilmington because they were doing films and stuff at the time.
Yes.
So I'm glad you made it out to Hollywood. Now you mentioned that you're going to have a Love Boat special coming up.
Uh-huh.
Is there any plans of interviewing Isaac, or is he no longer with us? Because I've always wondered whatever happened to Ted Lane, who played Isaac on the Love Boat.
Well, he's still around, and I interviewed Jill Whelan today, and she had the most wonderful things to say about him, that he was a very intelligent man, and very cultured, and just as much fun as you might imagine that he is. Ted is someone that I'm still hoping to have as a guest, as is Pernie Coppell, as Doc. I have everybody else either scheduled or interviewed. So I have the majority of the cast, but yes, I would absolutely love to talk with Ted.
Okay. And also, you said earlier, is the podcast, your podcast available on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, or Google Podcasts?
Well, I'll tell you what, it's wherever most podcasts are. So here's a short list: Apple Podcasts, iTunes, of course, iHeartRadio app, Spotify app. I just got on Audible app, which is very cool, and even Amazon Music. I will tell you, Podbean has a wonderful app that you can follow the show on, if that's something that sounds appealing. And by the way, if folks don't use apps, Podbean does have a website version where, like, you're on your computer and you can just go and listen to the show that way. But I always hope if people subscribe and they like what they hear, leaving a comment or a rating is just so beneficial and helpful.
Right. Well, I guess I'll have to check it out.
Well, I hope you enjoy it.
Okay, and if you ever get Jacqueline McKenna's Woods from Bowling Beautiful play Stephanie on the show, I know she's busy and she just had a baby. If you ever get her on the show, tell her I said hello.
I sure will. I'd love to have her. She's a dynamic actress. Hey, buddy, sure will.
It would be great to also get Heather Tom on your show. But anyway, so I'll make sure I check out the podcast. And pleasure to talk to you. And
same here. Thank you.
And have a great night.
You too, my friend. Thank you so much.
Okay, Bobby, I'm going to put you on hold. And Veronica, our new host. Hey, baby.
Hi, Carly. Hi, Nadia. Hi, David. How are you? My name is Veronica Robles from Houston, Texas.
Hi there.
How are you doing? I'm so glad I got to talk to you. And now I just want to say my mom loves the Love Boat. We both love the Love Boat. We watch the old episodes on, we love watching the classic episodes. You know,
I'm having so much fun.
It's not like it was before, television has changed over the years. I'm going to be honest with you. Television has changed a lot, you know. And for me, I love the Love Boat and, Alice and Mama's Family and just Kathy and Macy. You know, it's just, I love those old, I love the classic shows, and definitely.
Well, I hope you get to listen to some. I've got some of the music theme and some clips and all kinds of good stuff on
there. Yes, and absolutely. David, my question is, do you take any listeners to call into your onto your podcast or no?
I don't, because I do everything recorded, privately or off the air. I will tell you this quickly. When I first started, I was actually live on weekly online, network, and it was live. And I mean live. Like, if something went wrong, it was instant. And eventually I left the network, and I relaunched the show and to, Apple Podcasts. So basically – if you were to listen to my show, you might come across one of those older ones that were live, and I had different equipment. So I've been adding the old – I call them classic episodes. So if you ever see that in a description, that's what that means. But, it actually was live when I first started. But I have to tell you, I'm looking into ways of having callers, and this summer I will be doing some video interviews where will hopefully be able to do some things that are live.
That is awesome. Oh, my gosh. I'll definitely be tuning. Yes. Oh, my gosh.
Thank you.
I will be tuning in definitely, and definitely, you know, just hear what you say tonight, and how growing up, you know, unfortunately, my dad, he passed away a couple of years ago from cancer, and unfortunately, he was in the orphanage. All his brothers and sisters were given up in the orphanage, but unfortunately, he wasn't adopted. But he was determined to keep going, no matter with all the challenges that he faced, you know.
I'm so sorry for your loss.
Thank you, and just hearing what you're saying tonight, and that you're your background and everything that you have gone through. I mean, God bless you. You know, just keep doing what you're doing, and definitely congratulations and continued success.
Thank
you. You know, and also I also like what you said. You got to keep going, even if life is very difficult. You know, right now.
Yes, and I've learned that the last few years that
yeah.
You know what?
Yeah.
Even though things may be hard, if you can do something really good just for today, just
mm-hmm.
give it your best.
Yeah.
And if you know in your heart you gave it your best, you can figure out more tomorrow.
That's
kind of a new approach I've been taking. And I feel kind of like the comeback kid because I could have just given up on artistic projects.
Yeah.
But I am not doing that. I'm still moving forward. And I have to tell you this. I'm looking forward to doing some things that people probably never thought I could.
Well, that is amazing. You just keep going, and I just want to say thank you so much for coming on the show, and you know that's please come back. I can't wait to listen to what the interview's coming up from the Love Boat, and you know my mom. I'll ask my mom
Tuesday.
To listen to it too because she loves the Love Boat, and we both love the Love Boat.
Next Tuesday, Thursday, Sunday. And the following week, Wednesday and Friday. So if you can remember that, there'll be one
every two or three days. Well, thank you so much, David. And yes,
sure.
It's raining in Houston right now. It's raining in Houston, Texas right
goodness.
Now. Yes. And definitely it's been raining all day. Have a good night. Thank you.
I appreciate everything. Thank you so much.
Okay,
thank you.
I will put you on hold again. So, Stephen, so in closing, by the way, so have you been able to interview Pastor Duffy yet?
Yes.
Okay.
The episode is called Patrick Duffy, Return to Dallas.
Okay. My next question is, well, I need to speak to you off air. Because there's a brainstorming idea colleagues had in her head over the last 30 minutes. But, you know, Zadie Peck was on Dallas and Dynasty, by the way.
Mm-hmm. Just yes, he was.
Yes. My.
He's a great guy.
So,
I love J. Eddie Peck.
So if you haven't interviewed him, he does anything I say was dangerous. He will probably be a really good guest. I mean, heck, he has all these wonderful stories about Dallas and Dynasty that he loves.
Well, you've inspired me. Thank you. I've been wanting to have him on, and we actually talked about it several times. And you know what? I think the time has come for me to reach out to him again. So I want to say thank you for your inspiration.
Well, you know, I mean, when you have a TV husband, you might as well use it for good. And him, he, you know, I'm loaning him to you, you know, like I am. I always tease him that, you know, if you go on other podcasts, you're seeding on me unless you tell me ahead of time. But, yeah, he was on both of them, and he has the most amazing stories about, you know, everything. And the fact that he was at Barry Hangman's funeral, that's a story in itself.
Yes.
And I remember, before you go, when Larry died, I was on air. And it was a Friday night, and I wasn't really listening. We were just having a soap session, so I was really tired that Friday night. And I wasn't really listening to people because they were debating soap covers, and I went out of it because they were picking on my clothes and sending clothes, so really I was mad. So I was on the internet, and I was just looking at sites out of boredom, waiting for the, you know, waiting for the next topic. And then then Yahoo said Larry Hagman dies. And I'm like, wait a moment. Wait, no, no. So then I go to the Houston Chronicle because I'm really good about researching because I never believed TMZ at this point.
Yes.
So then I go there and they said it. So I said it on Twitter. And I was the one that kind of booked the news people, Entertainment Tonight, Inside Edition. So I was sort of proud of myself. Like, you know, I mean, I was so sad when he died because I really
very,
thought
very
he was going to make it. I really thought he was going to make it. And the Dallas reboot that they gave us was so incredible. But
it was a sad day
when
he passed away.
Longer on it, you could sense there was something missing. I mean, it could have gone on and on, but they are hearing, come on. You know, that's what Dallas was made for. I mean, you know, so, so... We would love to have you back anytime, right, Nadia?
Thank you. You just let me know anytime. I'd love to come back. And I have a whole bunch of stories that I can share with you, and I can share some of my adventures with Christoph St. John and tell you more about myself
and
all kinds of things. So just let me know.
Yeah, I
would love that.
Sorry
thank you.
You didn't get to interview him. But if you get bored, just go back on my Blog Talk Radio, and I will put the link up tonight for yourself.
Thank you.
But if you go back in the archive, there's a bunch of Christoph St. John interviews I've done. And
I'm gonna have a listen to them.
So if you want to, if you get bored, I know you're doing your own show. I know what it's like. You know, you try and listen to other people's stuff, but then you get busy doing your own, so I get it.
Well,
you
I tell
so
you,
much.
I love listening to other podcasts because I learn something from the hosts, and, you know, I get inspired by them.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome, and people... You got to listen to this podcast when it downloads tonight. But thank you, Stephen, for calling in. Please
well, thank
come
you.
Back
and
anytime.
I will.
Nadia,
thank you.
Nadia is the schedule.
Okay. Well, it was nice to finally speak with everybody. You guys know how to make a guy feel welcome.
And
thank
have
you
a
so
great
much.
Night.
You too. Take care.
Okay,
take care,
bye-bye.
Stephen. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
All right, Veronica, you on?
Hey, Carly. Hey, Nadia. Awesome interview.
Thank
you. Hey, guys.
Hi, Bobby.
Yeah,
hi.
It was a great interview.
Thank you.
Okay, so, people, I have a confession. So, I think my Amazon... things are, like, getting, like, really bad. Like, you know, I haven't been to Target in so long. So now my only shopping I'm doing is online. So, you know, I'm just saying shopping. I love to shop more because right now I have extra money. For once, I'm not broke, you know. And so, that feels really great. I loved our interview tonight, Nadia. Thank you.
I did too.
It was awesome.
I mean,
hey, Bobby.
Hey.
You know, I don't remember the last time we ran 115 minutes. Oh, 15, you know, because I... put this as 45 minutes. And once I knew I cannot stop talking, no wonder my parents called it the quiet years when I didn't talk for 4 years. Now I know. No, seriously, babe. No, babe.
That's okay.
No.
I remember a couple weeks ago that we had a lot of callers when Cassie was on the show. And
yeah.
That lasted almost 2 hours.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Yep. Yeah.
And I know that's going to happen Friday night.
Yes.
You know what?
I cannot wait. Oh, my gosh.
Yes. Blanca, what can you wait for?
To see, talk with our special guest, Kathleen, everybody, and I get to talk to you guys.
I cannot. You know what? This has been an incredible week. Tomorrow we're off. Thank God. All I'm going to say is thank God we're off tomorrow. Well, I just need one day to whatever you call it.
No, that's okay.
That's the word I'm looking for right now. Depress, no, whatever it is, that's in my mind, yes.
Uh-huh.
And then I'm okay. Then I will be perfect. And by Friday, so yes. And we are having so many guest stars in May right now, you guys. It's going to be unforgettable. It's going to be awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be great. Oh, May right now is looking up, isn't it, Nadia?
Yes. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah, it's awesome. You thought, April and February was awesome. But May, you know, May is around the corner. And then, Bobby, you know what's after May, right?
June.
Uh-huh. Okay, before we go, let me ask you guys this. Okay, except for the young ones, you know, but I can say that. Do you guys still look forward to your birthday, Blanca and Nadia?
What is it? I'm sorry?
Do you look forward to your birthday every year?
Yes, I
do.
No,
okay,
I always
enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
Enjoy looking forward to it, because there will be a point.
Yeah.
Like 39, 40, when you're going to want to put your head under the covers.
Uh-huh.
And I acknowledge it. I tried that for my 30th.
Uh-huh.
But my sister was pregnant, and I was supposed to host a baby shower on my birthday, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Like my other sister-in-law and my friend had to really get me out of bed to the party because I was still under the covers. I didn't want to face 30. So, yeah. And, you know, actually, 30, you know, I shouldn't complain, because 30
mm-hmm.
was when my, I was 29, 30 when my nephew was born. My first nephew, Eli, who is probably the love of my life.
Mm-hmm.
He's so cute. He's so adorable. He
mm-hmm.
still lets me call him every night almost, and I'm the only one that can kiss him on the cheek now. My mom
mm-hmm.
and my grandma and his mom are not allowed, but I am. So we have this, like, great relationship, and I miss the kids. I honestly miss the kids. So, yeah. So, but we will be back on Friday. I don't remember with her, because right now I'm not remembering anything. I know we have Kathleen at 5, right?
Yep, and then we have Ray Abruzzo.
Oh, I can't wait for that one, too.
Okay, so
yep.
Perfect. And enjoy your night, you guys, and don't do anything.
Thank you.
Have a good night.
Bye-bye.
Good night. Thank
Bye.
You. Bye.
Good night.
Good night.
Bye.
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 Bye. Bye.